Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Thursday night, the Witching Hour, right here on VOC Nation. We are live with Her Dark World, His Dark World. I'm Dean Compton. Very regretful to inform you that Christy Marks can't be here tonight. Some kind of conflict of interest, but we're definitely talking to her. We'll definitely get her here soon. You know, now that we touch ground, you know, ain't no stopping us. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of no stopping anybody, Emily Scott puts her mind to something, gets it done because she has all the fun. Emily Scott, what do you got for me tonight?
Well, I can be, if not defeated, slightly waylaid by a sinus infection. So if I sound a little funny, that is the cause. Otherwise, very excited to be here, as per usual.
Yeah, we're going to do a quick show tonight, folks. We did have our guests back out. This afternoon, and had a lot of trouble coming up with anything to talk about, I guess. Emily, you mentioned before the show, people are just holding off till old Comic-Con to give out the tidbits, the juicy news.
Yeah, sort of a slow news day in the greater dork world. Not that is not understandable. Everybody's got to wait till the big day. It's practically Christmas in Nerdland.
Did you see Batfleck?
I saw there was a picture, but I didn't actually care enough to look and see. I know what Ben Affleck looks like, and I know what Batman looks like.
No, I didn't even go look at it because I just don't care. I'm not going to watch the movie. You couldn't pay me to watch that movie.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
No way.
As terrible as that one Superman movie was, and I didn't see the one that came before this because I had zero interest in it, this one might be like fun mad. And that's
now, what do you
terrible.
Mean? What do you mean terrible? Which terrible Superman movie are you talking about?
Oh, there was that one with
you're talking about Superman
Brandon
Return?
Routh, I believe his name is, which, yes, and I feel sorry for that guy because I'm sure he's a fine actor. I've seen him in a couple other things. He seems a perfectly competent actor. But that movie is just terrible. And
I passed on going to the theater to see it.
It's ludicrous. There's a whole thing with the super baby that's really poorly done. And I don't even know. It's just bad all around. It's just boring. I feel like it's the worst thing you can say about a movie like that, is it was just so boring.
Well, soon we're going to have to watch All-Star Superman, the animated feature. And if you haven't seen it, see it. And if you get all the comics, read them. And then you will understand the majesty and excitement of Superman.
Well, that's all well and good. There is nothing majestic or exciting about this movie. And therefore, you know, I know it's sort of, it's not the same Superman or whatever, you know, in these new movies, but I really feel like this one has the potential to be fun bad.
Have you heard about the fact that they're shooting just about everybody from the DC Universe into this movie? Like, everybody's getting a cameo. I swear to God, like, the Creepers getting a damn cameo.
Well, that just means it might be even more of a clusterfuck. I feel like it's so sad for DC that, like, that's the best that somebody could hope for one of their, like, you know, huge franchise movies is, you know, it might be the right kind of awful. It might be just entertaining enough in its awfulness to entice as a casual comic book reader or, you know, fan of this sort of stuff to go. That's the best you have for me. Like, I can't wait for the next Avengers movie. I can't fucking wait, as I'm sure most right-thinking people are.
Well, I mean, I can't wait for Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true, and that's something that, you know, anything I know about it is stuff I've either heard in relation to this movie or stuff you've told me about it. And I couldn't be more excited. It looks great. It looks amazing. I've heard nothing but good things and excitedness from people waiting to see it.
Yeah, and of course, you got to understand, you know, Captain America, what a great movie that was earlier this summer. And go back into the archives and find Osvaldo Oyola talking a little bit about it, or even go over to the Good Doctor's blog, themiddlespaces.com. Take a gander, got a lot of really fascinating things to say about it. But what Marvel's done with their cinematic universe that DC, despite only really having one movie part of their interrelated universe, in existence, they cannot seem to get this, that Marvel's gotten, is that they can get that can't wait for the next issue feeling that goes along with being a fan of superhero comics when they're done exceptionally well. And what DC just sees, apparently, is that Marvel's put a bunch of characters into the movies. So the way they're going to catch up is by putting everyone in the DC universe into this next movie. Like, I bet Peacemaker's in it.
Well,
you know,
the
that's
thing
what they're
going to
do, and that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Because the reason that people cared about Avengers is there were, you know, several movies that preceded it. Captain America, the First Avenger, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, The Incredible Hulk, that built up to that story so that people wanted to, they wanted the culmination of it. We were ready. We'd waited, and you know, and there were tidbits and nuances and little plot devices that built up to that. So it culminated in something, and they start the second act, you know, we'll go on to the next storyline. You can't just jam everybody into a movie and think that people are going to respond.
No, and that's something that I feel like Marvel has done really well is even just in the standalone movies, like you're saying, there's tidbits, and you know, there's Easter eggs and all sorts of things, but they all feel like they come from the same place.
Right.
Even though they're different directors and maybe different writers, and I don't know who all has done what. I know that there's been some who've been involved in other movies, but... You know, for the most part, these are separate filmmakers doing these things, and they're, you know, about different time periods, different worlds, different sorts of characters, and yet somehow it all does feel like the same cinematic universe. There is some sort of stylistic consistency that ties them all together, and it's not even something I could really articulate what it is, but it just works, and you all accept that these are all creatures who live in the same world and operate, you know... within the same universe. And, you know, and DC has arguably, you know, just as many, like, really great characters they could build something like that with and have done none of the groundwork. Like you said, none of the groundwork has been done. And now all of a sudden they're playing catch up and they're so far behind now they will never catch up. I don't think the only thing they could do is just try and do their own thing at this point. And they're in a position where they can't, where they feel like they have to just do whatever Marvel is doing. And
well,
try
that's
to
what
now
I was
going to
say. You're buying into their mindset when you say they could never catch up. Don't catch up. There's no such thing as catching up. Like, for instance, do you think that...
I'm not even necessarily saying I don't think they can. I think that's what they're trying to do.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're using their terms. There's no such thing. Do you think that when, like, the first Terminator movie came out... That James Cameron was like, oh, we'll never catch up with what Rambo's done. No, you tell your story. You just tell your stories. There's no catching up. It's not a race. It's not a competition.
Actually
I'm not
that.
Berating you, Emily. I'm berating DC Comics. I'm berating Warner Brothers Studios. I understand. I'm just saying by using that terminology, that's how they've bought into it. You know, that terminology, that's how they phrase things. Oh, we can't catch up, so the only way to do it is to put – the freaking hero hotline in this next movie, and everybody and folks, these are all real obscure characters that I'm dropping here. You want to know? You want to talk about hero hotline 855 VOC radio 855-862-7234. I think the other thing that DC really doesn't get that Marvel's done well and is the fun. And one of the things is when the tidbits and nuances and cameos are thrown at you, like when Tony Stark appears in The Incredible Hulk, it feels great, it feels right, and it's awesome. You know, I mean, like oh, here's a little bitty thing that builds up to a greater story. But it's not like the end-all, be-all. It's like we just jammed him in there for this reason. And you asked why Marvel's able to do that, and it's true in the comics, and it's true in their movies. Marvel just has a greater sense of adherence to continuity without letting it be a straitjacket. Like, you know, continuity is a tool and they use it well, but they put it away when they don't need, you know?
Absolutely. And I just, I don't know. It's everything. It's every level of this that for whatever reason, Marvel just keeps getting right and DC just keeps getting wrong. Everything from
Look at it, though. DC, like, leans on David S. Goyer, who's like, you can't use the Martian Manhunter in a movie because he has a dumb name and only people who have never had sex even know who he is. Conversely, like, we can't make a Wonder Woman movie because we're scared kids won't respond to mythology. Conversely, Marvel has literally a raccoon called Rocket Raccoon that is going to be one of the big stars of Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor, which is rife with mythology and you know, and monarchy and those kinds of issues. And they're just like, look, these are the stories. DC, that, you know, it's almost like DC is buying into, like, what Vince McMahon and a lot of World Wrestling Entertainment does. And they're like, we're going to make wrestling for people who don't like wrestling. Well, there's something for people who don't like wrestling, okay? It's called Everything That Ain't Wrestling, all right? It's the same thing here. You don't run away from your past. You don't run away from the stories. You don't run away from what brought you to the dance. You don't enter a goddamn tango competition and then decide you're going to pop and lock. You dance with the ones that brought you. The Martian Manhunter brought you. The people who support the Martian Manhunter brought you, and you embrace it. You go, this is the Martian Manhunter, and he's cool. He changes shape, and he's got telepathy, and he can do almost anything Superman can do, but he's even a little more powerful, perhaps. You go with it. You don't be like, we got to change everything about it because only people who have never had sex would care. Because then you're doing two things. Number one, you're telling anybody who doesn't already care that they shouldn't care because, by God, they've gotten laid. Number two, you're shitting on the people who are already there, so they're not going to be interested. Congratulations, you have perfected the art of ostracization.
Well, they're doing the exact opposite of what Marvel is. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was about to say anyway, I was like, but conversely, Marvel's just like, we're going with it. These are the characters. And people will respond if we have good characters and good stories. And guess what, folks? It ain't rocket science. It ain't even brain surgery. Marvel's right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're welcoming everyone, and everyone, for the most part, seems to be climbing up on board.
Yeah, everybody with goddamn David Goyer and the Warner Brothers Studios and DC Comics, who are convinced that, you know what, I mean, the way they act, they're ashamed to like comic books. They're ashamed to be in the superhero business.
That is really what it seems like.
That era is over. You no longer have to be ashamed to like this stuff.
I mean, they want to operate on this principle, like, well, everybody likes Superman, and therefore we could just sort of phone in these Superman movies. But at the same time, they want to be apologetic about it.
I think another thing with the Superman movies, and we'll take a break after this, because we're going to do a short show tonight, folks. But another thing about the Superman movies is they're so dark. And one of the things that made Superman 1 and 2 with Christopher Reeve so good is it was bright and colorful. And that's what Superman is. He's larger than life, and he should be, you know, a shining beacon of hope that everyone can see, even if they were blind. That red, you know, that red, yellow S is going to pop, and then you got the blue. It's supposed to be bright. It's not supposed to be dark, but these movies are dark. They're dark in ambiance. They're dark in material. And his costume literally looks dark, and that's not how you get Superman right.
No, but I don't know if they went, well, look, we old Batman, you know, was very successful being gritty. We'll make Superman darker too, and that'll work just fine. And
ignoring the fact that Batman's origins are rooted in grim and gritty, ignoring the fact that Batman is a dark character, you'll notice when it comes to Marvel, the Iron Man movies are not the same as the Captain America movies, are not the same as the Hulk movies.
Right. And you want to talk about them being, you know, like, oh, there's too much mythology in Wonder Woman. What is Superman if not mythology? What is he if not a god come down from some, you know, other place from the heavens? Why not embrace that? Like, they're making a Hercules movie right now. I don't know if it's comic book Hercules. I don't know if it's just straight-up mythology Hercules. I don't know what studio is doing it, whatever. But, like, it's a big deal. The Rock's doing it, you know? Like,
it is based on a comic book, but it's not Marvel's Hercules.
But it is comic book Hercules, just not that particular one.
It's a comic book Hercules, yes. And in fact, Alan Moore is boycotting the movie because the guy who created the comic book isn't going to make any money off of it, because in order to publish it, the publisher made him sign away any rights he would have as far as the movie goes.
Oh, that's a very valid reason to boycott it, then.
No, no, I ain't going to see it either. But
I didn't really have any
plans
to see it either, but...
Well, I wasn't going to watch it, you know what I mean? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with a big announcement about something big for us. And then we're probably going to go get off here, folks. But we enjoy having you. You know, we definitely going to get Christy Marks again. But when she, you know, she couldn't make it because of, you know, some other, you know, some stuff came up. And we're left high and dry tonight. But I promise you, this announcement after the break is going to more than make up for it. We are talking Dragon Con immediately after this. VOC Nation Worldwide.
An invitation to cross the nation, a chance to vote for me. Love laughing and singing and music swinging, dancing in my sleep, Philadelphia, PA. Baltimore and Tequila, don't forget the Motor City, 100 feet of Brazil.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the NCloud and soar above your competition.
This is Peggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. I'm Dean Compton. This is Herd Oak World, His Dork World, alongside Emily Scott. And we have some very exciting news for you guys out there. And if you have been to our Facebook at facebook.com/Herd Oak World, His Dork World, you already know about this. Emily, I'll let you do the honors because you did most of the work.
Well, we will be covering Dragon.
What? What? Oh, I guess I don't know what happened. I guess you went off. Something wrong with your phone, Mike? I don't understand.
We will be appearing at Dragon.
Go ahead.
Are you doing this to me again?
That was a radio. No. That was only one radio scamp. I can only radio scamp one time.
Well, as I was trying to say before I was so rudely scamped upon, we will be at Dragon Con covering it for the VOC Nation Radio Network, which we are very excited about. It will be
very
your
honored
first
to have
convention,
the opportunity.
Very honored, very excited. I'm especially excited for you since I believe this will be your first convention.
Yeah, it'll be my first big-time con. I've been to a couple of smaller comic book shows, but I've been down here in Atlanta 10 years and ain't managed to make it over here, so I'm glad I'm going to get a chance. If y'all are going to be down at Dragon Con, you know, look us up. Find the Facebook, email us over at hewradio@gmail.com or tweet at us, hewradio on the Twitter. And we'd love to see you. Love to talk to you. Love to talk to any listeners out there. Going to try and make a few new listeners out there as well. So we'll be handing out some business cards, maybe even a prize or two. We'll just have to see. You're just going to find out.
I will be the girl with the ace on my forehead.
I'll probably be the guy in the Kansas City Royals stuff.
You will be cosplaying as yourself.
I just think it'll be funny to go as, like, the sports guy to this place that, like, you know, probably not going to have a lot of sports guys. I think it's funny. It's like when I used to wear my comic book stuff in high school, and I was the only guy who did that.
You would be surprised. There's a fair amount of – I have not been to the convention proper since the first year I moved down here. I've gone to the parade a couple years. There's a big parade before Dragon Con every year. It's a really fun, really cool thing. You would be surprised how many dudes are just there just wearing clothes. But the other – one of the fun things about Dragon Con is it's the same weekend as the first home college football game.
Right.
So that weekend,
so
you know, you
very
see
interesting.
Yeah, MARTA gets really fun, MARTA being the public transportation system here in Atlanta. MARTA gets very fun that weekend. You see a lot of groups of people just kind of eyeing each other up, trying to figure out what exactly, you know, the other one is all about.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. And like I said, I hope y'all are able to look us up there. And if you and we posted a thing the other day. Remember, if you go in cosplay is not consent. Leave cosplayers alone. No physical touching. No inappropriate comments. Let's be ladies and gentlemen with the cosplayers so that they'll keep doing the great stuff that they do. So that you can go and be amazed. Let's ask before we take pictures, and let's always thank them for their hard work.
Absolutely, and people put so much work into these things, and there's nothing wrong with appreciating all of that hard work and someone's interpretation of the character, but there's a big difference between showing appreciation and being a perv.
Right. And hey, for anybody who thinks that we're just talking about lady cosplayers getting picked on, be nice to the guys, too. This works both ways. I think anybody with any common sense knows that this unfortunately happens to women more than it does. I mean, it's unfortunate it happens to anybody at all, but it does happen to male cosplayers too. So let's leave them alone. And most of these cosplayers are going to be more than happy to take a picture with you, chat with you for a couple minutes about, you know, the character they're dressed up as if you're into it, you know. But let's remember that, you know, that ain't Starfire or, you know, that ain't Trigun. That's a person who is representing these characters. And let's try to remember that. Like I said, ask where you take a picture. No pervy comments, no inappropriate touching. And I think we can leave it with that, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. sums it up.
Next week, guys, we're going to have Sarah Byam on the show, a writer of Billy 99, Black Canary, did some other work on like Aliens, Dark Horse Comics. She's got lots to say. Good friend of mine, good friend of the show. Really excited to have her. Until next time, for Emily Scott, this is Dean Compton. This has been Herd Orc World.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.